Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Confused about your views.
Hell yeah, brother. Ooh. I'm gonna burp. It's gonna happen.
Do it now.
No, I'm good.
Okay. You can do it right now, aren't you?
No, I'm good. It's gonna come as soon as I do my intro.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 320. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dias. Yo soy Maddie Ding Dong.
Buenos tardes. This is Ree. Hey, Maddie Dingley.
Now, when it hits, it hits.
I still love it every time. It's still funny for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Dude, it's I good. Love it. That's a good bit. I really like that.
I agree. That's there a real good bit.
Psych! Zero thought given to that. And then I'm like, you're like, oh, we're going to start recording. And immediately I start getting like flush with panic. Like, what am I going to say? What am I going
to
say?
It's
like,
go right to the old standard. Dude. Yeah, man.
Yeah, imagine having to do that with Patreon commercials every week.
No, that's your gig. Mm-hmm. I've done it a few times. And they're very stuff, interesting pitches when I do that.
You can put that mic a little closer to your face there, brother. Not that close, but a little closer. What if I
just talk real quiet? Like
shove holy fucking larynx. Shit. Well, fellas,
yeah. Hey. How you been?
Good. I think it's only been a few days.
It has only been a few days since Thursday of last week.
That's right. I had my birthday. George and I went to wrestling.
That was super fun. Other than the whole bunch of views in the place.
That fat, fucking sweaty piece of shit next to me.
Dude, I was... Oh, he was about to wrestling, dude.
He was about to catch one, bro. Like, how do you just light up cigarettes in a fucking auditorium full of people? I don't get it.
Views, that's how.
Fucking get it.
His freedom.
He's like, I'm sorry, bro. It's my first wrestling show. And I'm like, I don't want to harsh on your first show, bro.
I'm sorry. It's my first wrestling show.
I'm about to light you up, homie. So I'm going to act like a total dipshit
99% of the time. I'm going to chain smoke indoors the entire time.
Yeah. And
these have something to do with each other.
Went to Grill-A-Mall Burgers.
Grill-A-Mall? I think we're making this a tradition.
Hell yeah, dude. If you like heavy metal and pro wrestling and really big portions of burgers.
Hi, fuck. That was
I think Rick still has all the fries just like hanging out.
So we had we had like aspirations to eat two burgers, two things of fries. That shit was a mistake.
Yeah, those fries were big enough for like three people. The burgers were big enough for two or three people.
You got the what burger did you get?
Fuck, I don't even remember. Oh, it had pastrami and egg on it. Like, that's how you get me to order a burger. If there's pastrami on it, I don't care what other burgers there are.
This burger that I got was, like, basically a waffle burger that had two chicken strips on it, bacon, burger, and, like, a sriracha ranch sauce. It was, like,
yeah, the bread was amazing. Waffles. Rick's, his bread, grilled cheese sandwiches.
Who the fuck is Rick?
Just the homie Rick.
Some dude.
Listeners... These motherfuckers have been teasing me about this Rick fellow via text.
No, we were teasing you about
pre-show, now during the recording.
Replacing you with Christine.
Well, that too.
Right.
So this is not how you don't make me feel like like Scott Newstead.
Now, Rick, I think you may have
Scott
actually Newstead? Met...
What's his name? That fucking bassist for Metallica
Jason
after...
Newstead.
Jason Newstead. Newsom. Jason Newsom? Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom. That guy.
Yeah, that guy.
He's the singer of Bush, right?
No. I can't keep it going after that, because then I'm supposed to go Rosdale.
Yeah, who's Rosdale? Yeah,
who's Rosdale?
I win?
Yeah, I think you win.
Rothschilds.
There you go.
The Rothschilds family, they're the ones who are like
the singer of Bush, right?
They own the world, right?
Yeah.
All right, anywho.
Okay.
So yeah, that was a fun night.
Yeah, fun night with Rick.
I don't like wrestling, but I do like... super violent.
You like death matches.
I do like death matches, dude. Yeah. I will admit that the first like regular wrestling matches were a little bit boring to me.
Yeah, me too. I love wrestling, and they were still a little boring.
People start bleeding, like for real, I'm in.
Yeah, that George got to experience the magic of Nick fucking Gage. He's the one that cut open David Arquette's jugular.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's like big shit in wrestling right now.
Dude, and I'm you know, I know I've got like these like certain thoughts about like the wrestling community, but dude, did y'all not welcome a trans person to your fucking sport
in the main event?
And I fucking, dude, I'm super into it, man.
She fucked shit, dude, bro.
She was fucking rad.
She was whooping ass.
Well, now that hard, there's dude. A Republican candidate who's trans, I guess that's accepted within
is there
the wrestling community.
Yeah. Well, no, wrestling's been really open and inviting about stuff like that for a long time.
Also, her name was Inclusive. The Dark Sheik, not the Dark Sheep.
I heard Sheik, but I didn't hear the dark part. I thought her name was just Sheik.
She's doing a bit from Zelda, I think.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And I got a little Zelda vibe.
I'm super into it.
Seeing fucking Zelda swing around light tubes and go through like doors with barbed wire.
Bro, I know you say like the cuts on their heads are superficial and all this and that, but
they are.
These motherfuckers, they're literally bleeding all over the all over each other. And like, some of these dudes are licking up blood from people. And
Nick Gage was licking that pizza cutter that had the blood all over it. Yeah, I honestly, if we were close enough, I wanted him to put his blood on that magazine.
I straight up thought somebody was going to get stabbed with an actual knife. Because there was a knife.
Oh, yeah. They did. They cut his stomach, remember?
Well, they cut his stomach. But I thought, dude, because she kind of stabbed it into this table.
Yeah.
And I go, dude, somebody's going to get really fucked up. And I kept waiting.
The knife bit seemed to... a bit much for me. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that. That was
pretty good,
something. Man. I mean, I've seen like, you know, a knife-like object going into like a table. Like they do that spot a lot, but they actually got their stomach sliced. That was pretty brutal.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. And then the drive home, which it's always
fucking
sucks.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Yep. And I made a pie live on Twitch, twitch.tv/MattyDingDong. That was really fun. I'm going to start doing dinner and a movie once a month where I just I do a cooking stream and then I'll do one of the Amazon watch-alongs.
I'm coming over.
Hell yeah, bro. I'll have my new place 1 month from tonight.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It's going to be dope. That's when your life... will truly begin anew.
Oh, yeah. You mean like dating again hasn't been a...
I mean like smashing.
Oh,
like yeah. Fucking thrashing. Like
smashing like and passion. Thrashing.
Like a lot of wet, juicy holes everywhere.
Making sure to check out my rations.
Yeah. Yeah, like that. I was trying to lay back, but...
I laid back too long.
You laid into it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's cool. Other than that, how you been?
Good, good. Everything. How about you? You seem to have had a week. Kind of opposite of me with your
don't
week.
Don't say opposite, dude, okay?
If my week was good.
You had a bad end to the week.
I wouldn't even say it's that bad. I mean, I had some car issues, and I went to the dentist. And that's fantastic. That's what everyone wants. Car problems in the dentist. No, but that's still quality problems, man. It really is.
And you got to watch. You got to watch a very special show at the dentist, didn't you?
They had friends on. They had David Schwimmer and fucking Aniston fucking staring at me,
swimming it up,
looking at. It was either X-rays of my teeth or them
swim.
Or them together.
Yeah.
But they did have like the song "Landslide" from Fleetwood Mac playing at the same
over
time,
and over
which
again?
Was kind of like okay. I heard it three times.
That's awesome.
So someone had their playlist on or something. But yeah, have some car issues.
Okay.
But Sophia and I are going to Idlewild.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia.
Happy birthday, Sophia.
Hey, thanks. Hey, don't.
It's not your birthday, bitch.
Can you not?
Hey.
Ever.
She's a member of the Patreon. That's the kind of, you know, support we give to our Patreon members here.
On what website, Matthew?
That's good. That's
it
good
is good.
Shit.
It is good. I might leave it.
I love the look on his face when those moments pop up. He's like...
So we'll see. I may leave it in.
So we're going to Idlewild. I mentioned it last week. You say it's a really cool place. Jorge, I haven't been there.
Idlewild is really cool.
Do you know they have a dog named Max that's the mayor?
They do. Idlewild? That's right. That's right.
That's pretty. I'm pretty excited about that. And
are you gonna try to meet the mayor?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course. We have to fucking meet. We have an appointment with the mayor, actually.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, yeah.
All right, cool.
I watched some stuff, but we'll get there. We'll get to that.
Nice.
What about you?
Other than what we talked about, I installed an AC unit, which is fucking dope. That's first time, fun. First time I've done that. I'm stoked. I'm stoked on that. Planned a vacation for September 12th through the whatever the fuck. Yellowstone. Yosemite. We're going out to Yosemite with a couple friends. So we're.
Are you going with that stupid vegan family?
No. Thankfully, no. We have.
Yeah, I was going to say, you need me to bail you out of this shit?
Chop them up like broccoli. Chop them up like broccoli.
With the bits in the stew.
No. We're going with a doc that I used to work with at my previous workplace.
The hot one?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. But yeah, wrestling was good. I have a hat that says Southern Psycho, which I'm really happy to wear.
He does.
Always.
Southern Psycho.
It just says Southern Psycho, and it's got like stag horns on it.
It's a Mance Warner hat, but you wouldn't know that.
I wouldn't know a damn thing about what you're saying.
I like the wrestling. That was fun too, man. Those guys got bloody.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Bloody.
Oh yeah, and they went. They fought Bussy, which is a tag team of two LGBT wrestlers, male and female.
I do like that they paired them up with like the other like American
team. Yeah, the hella redneck, the Armenian redneck.
are you
feeling left out, Rhett?
No, I'm just listening.
Oh, Matthew? Looks,
I am left sad. Out. I'm not feeling left out.
Did you play
out.
Anything?
I look sad. I played Dead by Daylight.
Never mind.
There's that.
All right, cool. Did you watch anything?
No.
You didn't watch anything?
No.
Come on.
Oh, it's been like 4 or 5 days.
Boy. All right, well, since Rhett needs me to stall a little bit, I will say that the best thing that I've watched in the last few days was The Suicide Squad.
Talk about it. Yes, yes, yes.
Super impressed with this movie. I mean, not even as a like, oh, it's better than Suicide Squad. I just really, really like this movie. I think it's goofy as shit. I think John Cena is like...
You mean it feels like a trauma movie? Does it feel like a trauma movie?
It's kind of a good, it's a meeting point between, you know, how James Gunn did Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, he also did Romeo and Juliet.
He also did Super.
And he also did Slither.
It's kind of in between Super and Slither and Guardians of the Galaxy, like right dead in the center of those films.
Yeah.
Like, so it's a pretty good.
There's a lot of gross out stuff, which is really fun. There's a lot of gore, which is really fun.
That's what I was saying. It was gory enough, and it had enough kind of horror tropes almost.
I don't want to like spoil it in case Matt's actually going to watch it, which I do recommend you watch it. But the fact that they leaned into the thing,
yeah,
I applaud the direction of that movie. Like, why
I hope the thing is John Cena.
They lean into John Cena too, but
they have other tropes that they lean into, even using the terms. Right.
Yeah. I actually saw that. Lloyd Kaufman is actually in the movie. There's a scene, I guess there's like a dance of some kind, and John Cena's dancing.
Okay.
And Lloyd Kaufman is right next to him dancing with a really young girl.
I don't know
if it's like a child girl or like a teenage girl.
In the bar.
Yeah, I didn't.
Mantis is in there too.
And supposedly there's an homage, like a blink and you'll miss it scene that's an homage to Toxic Avenger.
I can believe it.
I could believe that.
What'd you think about it?
I thought I went to the theater and saw it because why the fuck not with the AMC thing, and yeah, pretty much agree with you. Like if we are gonna compare it to the 2016 one, like
yeah,
no. Like ridiculous.
Yeah,
but they both have Margot Robbie, right?
Yeah, they still have that, so it's not like a hard total reboot. It's like if you wanted to call it a sequel, it could work that way, but it's more of a soft reboot. But it's still. It doesn't matter, I mean, because they have a couple characters, or, well, at least one character from the previous movie besides Margot Robbie.
Three, actually.
Yeah, and James Gunn's approach to this, though, is just a much better. It makes a lot more sense. But besides, even if it didn't, if it wasn't a matter of approach, it's just the movie flows better and everything. I mean, the plot's a little silly.
Yeah, there are definitely times too when it also lulls.
I agree.
In between some scenes,
they're trying to do character development in the car, and I was kind of like, yeah, I don't, you know. Here's the thing: most of the characters don't have much of an arc in this movie. And that's fine because it has this like innately kind of nihilistic, gleeful thing to it a little bit, you know, even though it has like the idea of having heart, but it's not really like sincere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's really not what it's about. But the thing is, when you don't have that much of an arc, like the jokes, it's constant jokes and it's near constant gore in the bigger scenes. But it's inventive though. Yep. It's inventive and it kind of like, I don't want to say subverts things. Not that there's big twists or something. Like, I pretty much anticipated that twist that happens. And yeah,
right
that.
At the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the sequences and the ideas in them and the dialogue was entertaining enough that I was diverted. And I love the polka dot fucking guy.
I was gonna bring it up. Even when it feels like they're kind of like reusing that same joke with his hang up,
right. Yeah.
I even feel like it's well done in the moments that they're like the third time you're like, okay, I'm in.
Well, especially as 100%. A movie dork, because this is the guy who's always that guy. He's always the weirdo in Prisoners, in The Dark Knight. He's not like the main bad guy. He's always like some weirdo who follows the main bad guy. He's a good
character actor.
Yeah, he's a great. I don't know his name offhand, unfortunately, but yeah. Idris Elba, like, good job. I don't know if you looked at the box
office. Best role since fucking we have canceled the end. The apocalypse. The apocalypse. Yeah. Today is our Independence Day. We've canceled the apocalypse. I'd say
his best role is definitely in Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh shit!
I would say it's in The Dark Tower.
There you go.
Oh fuck.
Gunslinger.
I didn't even watch that. So I don't even know. Yeah, I'm not going to watch it.
It's...
Yeah, there's some, you know, there's some really fun stuff. What I don't want to like go home and be like, you bitched out. Here's the thing. People are like, it's the best, blah, 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 blah. It's the best DC movie. No, like just, you know, it's an improvement by leaps and bounds over the other one. It's a good pairing of James Gunn's sensibilities with the subject matter. To a point, here's the thing. The big bad in this, which I get is an innately goofy thing. That's one of Justice League's biggest nemesis. Like, you if you're going to just, like, make fun of the whole fucking thing, like, okay.
I really dug that, dude. I
do, too. I get it works. But also, I can feel two ways about it simultaneously.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, yeah. I can see that.
You know what I mean? Because I'm like, it's not a totally stupid... Like, it is kind of silly, right? Because it is what it is. But, you know, you can't say anything about this without spoiling what it is.
Right.
I don't know why it's such a spoiler either. Like, we give a fuck.
But. Well, I think there are... If you don't know anything about that character, then when you see it full size, for lack of a better
word... I know nothing.
For the first time, I think it's going to be pretty neat.
Pretty, yeah, that's true. So I don't want to say anything. That's why. Right. That's why we're feeling that way. But as far as taking these actual characters like the polka dot guy and Weasel and, oh, TDK, which is the detachable kid, and James Gunn saying, like, these, you see how fucking ridiculous these characters are? That's brilliant. That's a great fucking idea. I wanted to see more of TDK, actually. But
at the end, it was weird enough that I wanted to see more of it.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, when he uses his powers, and then it Margot Robbie gives a very convincing, like, what the fuck? It's a really convincing one. This is also the best. She's always good, even in the as that character. You know what I mean? Even in the suck-ass Suicide Squad. This is the best version of her I've seen on film yet, though. I love the scene they have with her, like where she's like, you know, she doesn't need to be saved and all that stuff. They're doing that, and it has like it gets really expressionistic, and they have all the flower stuff and everything happening. Like that was the choreography was great, yeah,
fantastic.
Everything was great.
What else you watch?
I also watched a film.
Apparently, called... you watched some other films.
This is all I watched this week? Damn, that's scary. I watched a movie that it didn't make sense that I'd never seen. So it's called Twilight.
Oh, God.
And so I highly recommend we cover the entire series.
He's like, this is all I've watched. Yet he fails to mention that he watched Twilight at least twice.
I watched it twice because the first time Sophia refused to watch it. And then
came around.
And then she came around and watched it. And now she gives it 3 stars out of 5. Even though she knows it is absolutely
horrible. So does that mean it's horrible? Meh?
Dude, it is bad. It is a bad, bad movie with... Like, how can I say things like this about Twilight at this point? It's horrible, dude. And I had a blast watching it. Put it that way. But it's fucking bizarre because Robert Pattinson, as everyone knows, is quite the thing these now, you know, as he should be. He was in a Cronenberg movie called Cosmopolis that I thought was fucking great, and it's kind of grown in stature. He was in The Lighthouse. He was in The Safdie Brothers, Good Time, which was fucking great.
He was in Tenet, dude.
He was in fucking Tenet, dude. He's been with the Safdies, with fucking The Lighthouse guy, with Christopher Nolan. Like, you know, he's going to be Batman.
He's fucking them all.
He fucks like that. And even back then, like when he's making ridiculous faces and has horrible dialogue, you could still see like...
You can see the spark.
He could fuck... Well, literally the spark. When he goes in the sun, you've seen it.
I know enough.
Dude. And also, I don't know how they got this soundtrack. Like, it's Tom York, and it's, well, Death Cab for Cutie, but
money,
so what?
Dude, money.
Dude, don't do this. Don't do this to me. Like, Tom York and Radiohead, I think they straight out said they liked that it was set in the Pacific Northwest or something like that.
Look, even Tom York, if you bulldoze a mountain of money up to his front lawn...
Not true.
That boy taking it.
Not true.
100%
true. He must have liked the idea.
He's got a legacy to fucking keep.
He must have liked the idea. Maybe he had like a freaking niece that loved it or something like that. Some shit like that, at least. Something subjective. But
niece made out of fucking dollar bills.
And then I watched New Moon. Which,
when they introduced the werewolves.
Oh yeah, how do you know that? How do you know this,
bruh?
Who kept you up to speed about this,
bruh?
So again, keep in mind, this is the first time I've ever seen these movies. So almost, I mean, these came out in 2008, almost 15 years hence. We're nearing the nostalgia factor for this, and we'll probably see this get rebooted in about 10 years.
Did you get to Breaking Dawn?
Not yet. Well, no, the next one's Eclipse, then Breaking Dawn 1 and 2. And yeah, they are, when they're not absolutely horrible, which is extremely fun for me.
Extremely always.
They're either like... Shut up. Shut up, Siri. Freaking, they're either like, oh, that's kind of a cool idea if it was done well, but it wasn't. Or just horrible and hilarious at the same time. Right. And they're on Netflix.
Look, you ain't got to tell me, man. I go down the stupid-ass rabbit holes nearly every day.
It is my favorite fucking rabbit hole in a while
right now. All right, cool.
This shit sucks. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah. Anything else? Matt, you should watch it.
No.
And she's going strong on RuPaul's Drag Race. She's in season 5.
And you've quit?
I've watched a couple episodes. I mean, it's kind of... quit. Well, look, man. You know, there's like... 12 seasons of this shit. Like, I can't, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I'm an open-minded guy and sure and this and that, but I've kind of, I don't want to say you've seen one, you've seen them all, but you know, how many times do you want to see people lip sync for their life? You know what I mean? Like, I'm...
Yeah, fair.
Have you watched all 13 seasons?
Fuck no, dude. I've seen like 2 episodes.
Okay. Yeah.
But even still, I'm just like, okay, this is already outstayed its welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've seen 2 Twilight movies and Suicide Squad.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
All right, cool.
I'm pretty happy with it.
Any news that you get to, fellas?
So, by the time this comes out, you'll have a day or two's notice. Green Knight is going to be streaming online for one night only, August 18th.
Thank God.
So you can watch it on your phone.
I'm not going to watch it on my phone.
Watch it in the theater, Jorge. I'm serious.
It screens Wednesday, August 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. You go to the
A24. It in a theater is a fucking mistake.
Can't.
Go to the A24 screening room and you can buy a ticket. It's 6 p.m. here.
I know. That's right around bedtime.
Well, yeah, you can buy a ticket at the A24 screening site.
Okay, cool.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre had some test screenings, and apparently there are reports that it did not go well.
No, you don't fucking say.
But so Fede Alvarez is like defending it, and you know, he's saying that it was good. But the quote that I found interesting that I really wanted Rhett to hear because of the movie we're doing next week. It says, I don't know what screening he was at. It was amazing. There was someone online who said it didn't go well. When you test it, you get a score, and it scored as good as Don't Breathe 2, which I think is better than Don't Breathe 1. So that tells you something.
Well, look, Don't Breathe 2, the reception has been very strong so far.
Is it out already?
Well, it's
you mean screened. The critics and stuff?
Yeah.
Huh.
People love seeing that turkey baster juice grow up mm-hmm. and become mm-hmm. its own sentient being,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they see themselves in that process. That's why.
Because we were all a turkey baster full of
right.
jizz.
That's right. I mean, in some form, dude, yes.
So there's that.
Still are.
There's a Turbo Kid game coming.
Just a bigger turkey baster.
For real.
I mean, mine never got much bigger, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
Turbo Kid game. There's going to be a Turbo Kid game. Mm. It looks pretty cool. It kickstarts starting August 20th. So go check that out.
What? I've never even seen Turbo Kid.
That's a mistake.
That's a good flam.
It's good.
Flam?
It's a good flam.
It's a good flam.
It's a good flam flam.
Yeah. Speaking of good flams, there's a Japanese remake of Cube coming out.
Mm. We talked about this, right?
Did we?
Yeah.
Ooh, well, I don't know. Back. But there's a trailer now, and it shows some of the traps. Comes out October 22nd. We should totally do that,
man,
because it's gonna be so tight.
I think you guys, if we do that, we should watch that Meander one with it.
Why? What does Meander have to do with Cube?
It's very similar. It's a very Cube-like film.
Well, do we need?
And for all you know, it's superior.
Do we need Cube Squared?
Yes.
Mm. No. Mm.
Yes.
Mm. Mm. Something Rhett was very excited about. Luis Guzman is going to play Gomez Adams.
Yeah, I sure was.
And
was he supposed to be like Mexican? Because I always thought Gomez was like Italian.
His name's Gomez.
I mean,
at least Spanish.
Either way, it's a fucking mistake, dude.
Well, you know who's playing alongside?
You know what else is a mistake? Not letting the IP die. Leave it alone for a few years.
It's Catherine Zeta-Jones.
There's a game that I thought might interest Rhett. It's called Spectacle, but it's spelled all...
Testicle.
It's spelled all stupid.
Wallet.
But it's banned on Steam. It comes out on itch.io next week. But, so where did I see the thing? It presents itself as a late night television watching simulator with light puzzle elements. There you are, spending the night in your new apartment when you start to receive VHS tapes through the front door of your mail slot. Should you choose to watch them, they get progressively more disturbing. If you don't, you can always just sit there watching TV. Of course, it'll be hard to ignore the knocking at the door. Did I mention that the game mixes influences from midnight movie creators such as David Lynch and David Cronenberg with more personal experiences from its developers?
And those aren't video nasties, dude.
Well, I mean, you don't know what's on the tapes.
That's right.
But that sounds pretty good.
They just have a video of you jacking off, and you're like, how'd they get this tape, dude?
Speaking of simulations, NASA will pay you to live a year in a Mars simulation.
Down. How much? Don't care. Let's go. Can I stream?
Want to experience what life on Mars would be like for a year but lack astronaut credentials? Don't worry. Go apply for NASA's Mars Analog Mission. So it's Analog Mission. It'll have participants live in a simulated atmosphere that is similar to that of the Red Planet. Helps to study the physical, emotional, and mental effects of the habitat. Right? So I actually went to NASA's website to look at the requirements. Qualifications. Okay.
Okay.
This shit out. But you get why they're doing this, right? They're trying to assess. It's troubleshooting, basically, before actually going fucking doing the thing. But number one, be a U.S. citizen or permanent resident.
Okay.
So check. That's already like xenophobic, okay? Problematic. Anyway, two.
But they can't just say, let's send all the Mexicans to space.
Yeah, B, why not? Mars doesn't give a fuck.
We'd be totally down.
Right. Two, be within the ages of 30 to 55.
Done.
Okay. Here we go. Three, possess a master's degree
in
a field such as engineering, biological science, physical science, computer science, or mathematics from an accredited institution.
I have a degree in biological science, but not anywhere near a master's.
Okay.
Turkey-based or science. And then next is have at least...
That's the biology part.
Yeah. Everyone has that degree. So have at least 2 years of related professional experience...
Of living on Mars?
...in a field like that, or at least 1,000 hours pilot in command time on jet aircraft. Next, be able to pass the NASA long-duration flight astronaut physical... Next, 2 years of work toward a doctoral program in a related science, technology, engineering, or math field.
So they want astronauts.
Yeah. Next, a completed doctor of medicine or doctor of osteopathic medicine degree. Next, completion of a nationally recognized test pilot school program.
So they want astronauts.
So they want astronauts.
Like, Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Way to crash my fucking... And then, oh... Where,
crash your spaceship?
They don't want dipshits in space?
Yeah, like...
Shit!
It's not even space, though. It's like here. And just like red sand.
Here we go. Candidates must not be prone to motion sickness with virtual reality equipment.
What about alcohol dependency?
That's a no, right? Next is candidates on specific medications will be disqualified.
Yeah.
Examples... Apparently, blood pressure medications, blood thinners, seizure medications, daily allergy medications, diabetic insulin medications, sleeping aids, ADHD medications, antidepressants, or anxiety medications. Food supplements not permitted. Vitamin D will be provided. What?
That means they're going to fuck you.
So, yeah, man. So, I do not qualify.
Yeah, clearly.
That's a shame. I really thought you were going to make it.
I would have fucking...
Dude, the first three I thought you were in.
The first
Can you imagine fucking Rhett's the one that makes contact?
Like, oh, and then it says you can't have gastrointestinal disorders. And I'm like, well...
fuck, man. Welcome to every millennial ever right now.
I bet I could last a lot longer than they're thinking, though. I could probably last a couple weeks in this simulation. That's a trippy-ass thing, though, huh?
Sending fucking Rhett to space. God, if only.
Just fucking shitting myself and freaking out. No meds.
Screaming into the fucking void about like movies that nobody cares about.
Whoa.
What do you mean?
The fuck?
That's what I said. I said what I meant. What
trauma
I said.
Movies?
You don't talk about trauma movies?
Exactly. He said nobody cares about.
No, I said you're know screaming what about
movies. All right.
James Gunn sure shit knows.
Anything else?
Jump across this motherfucking table.
Anything else?
He's trying to break it up.
No.
You think people do that, dude? They lie?
You know, hot dogs get a bad rap.
You think I would do something like that, dude? And that's just a superfluous... fucking can of soda. What do you say? And that's just a bottle of cough syrup.
A completely superfluous bottle of cough syrup. And I would have bought it.
Can you imagine like Donnie Wahlberg seeing that? And he's like, damn.
He's like, I'm the shitty one.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back to talk about a film.
I said Amelia.
That's the name of one of the girls I'm talking to.
Amelia.
I don't think she says it like that, but look, Amelia.
First time we meet her, dude. Well, how's it going? Amelia!
Tell her, dude. See what she says. She'll probably like that.
I mean, she might.
Yeah, most girls like that.
Like what?
When you say things like that, all quirky like that.
Hey, Ray, guess what?
What?
We're fucking back!
We're back!
Psych! No, we're actually back.
Oh. Psych again.
Double psych. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
Why don't you tell these dumb idiots about Patreon?
That's redundant.
You know what I want to tell you about?
You're stupid.
I want to tell you about peaches. You know why I like peaches? Because they're sweet, hella sweet, and they're good. But every now and again, you go and bite into a fucking peach, and there's just big old stone there. You know what they call those? That's the fucking pits. And a peach is like a podcast
because
it's all sweet and good.
Wait.
And then you get unexpected expenses, and that's the fucking pits.
Hold on.
Why don't you ever let me finish these bits? You know how hard they are to do on the spot, and yet you insist upon interrupting me all the time.
Because
can't ever just let the bit play out on its own.
Because factually,
no. If I'm talking about fucking peaches, just let me talk about the fucking peaches. That's the thing. If you want to hear more of this stupid banter that we don't put on the show, go to patreon.com.
I got to correct podcast. It. Every peach has what? A pit.
I know it does.
Surprised by them.
I know it. If you bite into it enthusiastically, like we bite into doing this moving podcast enthusiastically, the country, we're expecting something sweet and good, like peaches, and then you bite into the fucking country, pit, and it sucks. We're biting into unexpected costs, like fucking new recording technology, and it's the pit. Go to patreon.com/ Who goes there podcast? The and give us a fucking peach without a peach.
A lot of peaches. Peaches come from a can. They were put there by a man in a factory downtown. All right. If I had my little way, I'd eat peaches every day. Sun soaking bulges in the shade.
Done it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Patreon.com.
I hope they heard the address.
Moving to the country. Oh, you hope they did?
Mm-hmm. What was the address, man? Mm-hmm. Patreon//views.com.
www.gonowget.com.
We have that website.
//.
I think it goes to whogoesthere.com.
That's hella tight. Anywho, the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film called the
Queen of Black Magic.
Queen of Black.
Yeah. Go on now, get.com goes to Who Goes There.
Black Magic. Do you believe sorry, in the Queen of Black Magic?
Jorge's learning to sound out his words.
He could have used the time that I was doing the Patreon promo to look this up.
Okay.
Interrupting me all the time.
2019.
Talking about goddamn peaches.
The Queen.
And let me interrupt.
Of Black Magic. Original title, Ratu Ilmu Hitam.
I'm sure that's how it's said.
Directed by Kimo Stambol.
That too.
Written by Joko Anwar. Starring Ario Bayu, Hana Al Rashid,
Ario Bayu, and New Adhisti House.
Flowers can Mazuki bloom. Ramdan, Ari Iram, Ade Furman Hakim, Sheila Dara Aisha, Tanta Gintig.
He's Miller trying to read Khan, Indonesian names.
Imelda Terine.
He would have given up on English names a long time
Salvita
ago.
Salvita De Corte, Guilo Parenquan. That's good. All right. And a bunch of other people.
That's good. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Anywho, Matthew, what do you think of this film?
I can sum up my thoughts on Queen of Black Magic in one word. Yeah! And to elaborate on that further, fuck yeah! This movie's fucking tight, bro. It gets a little cheesy in the third act, but also the third act goes completely fucking bananas. This is like the fourth movie I've seen of this director. I've enjoyed all of his movies. He really knows how to handle suspense and tension and
atmosphere,
and he scores his movies really, really well. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. It's pretty good.
Rhett?
I am not as enthusiastic.
Okay.
And the reason being, and I know this may sound like a minor gripe, because I thought it was pretty fucking good. Especially, it hits the 40-minute mark, and it fucking doesn't stop until the last 15 minutes.
It gets a little weird.
I was like, But also, look, I loved how graphic it was getting and how brutal it was getting, but the CGI bugs take me the fuck out. They take me right out of the visceral, like, grossness. There's some very upsetting, and I mean that in a good way, very upsetting shit that happens in this movie, though. And if it weren't like, if I wasn't seeing these glistening computer pixels with some of it, I would be a lot more immersed and, like, probably kind of my stomach would be turned.
Yeah.
You know, it's a few times though. Even with that, I was still like, "God, that's fucking gross."
I actually covered my face a couple times. Like,
right, which is a good visceral reaction.
Like not your eyes, but like for some reason you cover your mouth when you see terrifying shit. And like I did that at least three times, I think.
It does make me want to watch the, I think it's the 81 original.
Hell yeah, dude. Especially with the closing credits. They show all those clips from the original. I'm like, oh, that looks badass.
Yeah.
And apparently the original and this are like nothing alike. Damn it. I never realized how much I say that fucking word.
Neither did I. Dude,
until we started.
It's gotta be the most overused fucking word.
Yeah, apparently it is.
Apparently. Jorge?
I really dug it. There are some dodgy bits. The first 30 minutes take forever.
Slow burn.
It's not even slow bone. Slow bone.
Slow boner.
It's not even slow burn. I just find...
Slow bone.
I just find the story setup to be a little bit tiresome.
It's a little bit cute, too.
Well, it's how many times you can explain to me it's a fucking orphanage, and there's people that are left there, and I just... Get to the good.
Go on now, get.
Go on now, get. Right?
To the good.
Get to the good. Once this movie starts fucking you, though, it's got you by the hips, and it takes you there.
Yeah.
Dodgy
CG. To Flavortown.
It takes you there, and then at the end, it pulls out
dodgy,
and doesn't finish.
Dodgy CGI aside.
Just goes limp, and there's a sad trombone.
I think there's kinda some cool stuff going on. Genuinely creepy moments and pretty good acting throughout. We got some.
That little kid was real good.
We got some players that could maybe take a class or two, but other than that, pretty solid. And I enjoy this film, and I do recommend it.
It starts out with these kids, well, this family in a car, and these kids have to carry the brunt of these scenes with the parents. I'm looking
with the parents,
and I'm looking at it with Sophia, and I'm like, already better than old. Like, dude, recently. Like, fuck, dude. Like, you can direct kids, dude. Like, kids talk like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that little boy was good. Also, I do want to point out, we might as well right now, it's good as time as any, because we're not very linear with this. This movie features a kid getting held at gunpoint and actually getting shot. Like... If not one, but he gets grazed, right?
Still.
That's fucking, that is some upsetting stuff that you don't really see in Western films. Yeah. They don't really go through with this kind of shit.
If he used an actual gun, I would have been more impressed.
Well, I bet. I know that's what you were looking for.
He's like, just shoot the fucking kid.
Just shoot this fucking kid. I'm over there like, fuck yeah, shoot that kid.
Dude, but when they put the gun to his trick, when they put the gun to his eye, though, I was like, ooh, no, don't do that. Because I was actually worried the director was going to do that. I was like, am I ready for that? I think I'm ready for that. I always advocate killing the kid, but like, that was pretty crazy.
I was kind of upset about, that's what I mean, in a good way for a horror film. I'm like, this is very upsetting. This is very upsetting stuff.
This is not good.
Yeah.
It was real good.
I do think, like Matt mentioned, that what else did the director do?
He did Impetigore. He did Satan's Slave,
which we enjoyed.
He did something else. I can't remember the name of, but it was. They're all very similar. His movies.
And I want to say I know people liked Impetigore quite a bit, and we did for the most part. But I think the three of us felt it had.
Like, a little hollow.
Well, it was like three stories crammed into one, kind of. It was kind of like, I thought it was trying to do too much, actually. Like, this is pretty simple, you know? And again, once it hits that 40-minute mark, it's just like, prior to the actual ending, when it's like peeking in the rooms where people are getting different kinds of torture.
Bro. Yeah, that was corny as shit.
I thought that was really effective.
Really? I was like, why were they just kneeling there getting fucking acid sprayed on them? Like,
dude. No, it's boiling water.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. Like, to me, that's when it all got a little bit cute. I'm like, they just have these weird torture rooms, and for some reason, this one woman is just by herself, not like...
Well, she said she wanted to make hell to make sure.
Well, that, right, but I mean,
they had to have somebody experience hell.
But just to watch the innocent mom, like her hell is to watch all of her
Nobody's
family
innocent
die
in this story.
Well, that's I mean, the
well, and the, also the thing about black magic is the reason why it's black magic. If you're resorting to black magic for revenge, because we all want to see that guy get his. But black magic, the nature of black magic is that innocents will get hurt. In order for you to achieve your ends, it doesn't matter if anyone's innocent. You get what I mean? Like, you know, they said, what about the bus, the people on the bus? And she's like, they're better off dead. Her worldview is such that, like, anyone's better off dead than living in this shithole anyway. So, you get what I'm saying?
I mean, it's not far off.
Well, if you want to, that's black magic, you know?
Yeah, I think the motivations of, like, the main villain get a little bit, I'm like, well, you're just going to torture everyone? Like, you don't have special shit going on for the people that actually had a hand in your mom's death?
Well, I mean, I think the whole part of it, the whole thing for the people that were involved in her mom's death is watching the people that they love die. Because that's the thing. Like, you find out, I mean, we're already, like, hella spoilery, but you find out that, like, the... God damn it, I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, the main bad lady, she watched her mom die. Her dad was probably, she was probably conceived through rape, I would assume.
Apparently.
Like, right? Is that what we're led to assume?
That's not a bad assessment.
So, you know, and then her father winds up being like a total scum fuck. Her friends, she has to watch her friends burn alive. Like, her mom's trying to protect him. And then, you know, just all the emotional scars and baggage that she's carried with her. Also, like, where has she been living? Because that's something I don't think they ever explain. Like, she's...
In the cornfield, dude. In the sticks.
She's corporeal, but like...
Whoa.
She's... supernatural?
Well, she's got black magic power, bruh.
Right, but like... But she's still like... mortal. But like, she's not? Because like, they cut off her head. And then she picks up her head... But then she throws a fucking candle at her. Somehow the candle doesn't go out, and somehow it lights her on fire.
I didn't like that ending.
Did I miss something where they doused her in gasoline?
That's kind of whack.
It was whack, and if there was some metaphysics involved here where burning the person is different than cutting off their head, which is like, sure, I'm not saying you have to explain that, but at the very... Either way, regardless of your metaphysics and your unexplained rules here, like, it was an unsatisfactory ending. Because she's like, you're all going to die. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
it's that movie.
Indonesian films are dark. Let's fucking kill everyone. Fuck yeah. And then, like...
And it has this little coda, like, a few minutes later where she thinks she sees her.
It's such an American ending. Like, where it's like, oh, they get out, but did they?
And then, like, the post that scene, what was even the point of that?
What was post that scene? I don't even remember.
The two fuckers talking about renovating the...
Oh, house. I think it's just show. You hear the mom, like, the sound of the mom shuffling.
Well, no,
so I think the whole point is showing that, like, the house is still going to be used, so the evil will continue.
Right. Well, I kind of got that. It didn't matter your idea of, like, changing the owner. You know,
yeah.
Or even rebuilding on the same area, like things happen in places and it sticks around.
It doesn't change the energy.
Yeah, it doesn't change what happened there. You know, that stuff. So it leaves an imprint. That's what I got from that scene too.
I will say, story wise, like I was pretty much guessing until the end. Like, it does a really good job of leading you down a path that's not the right path.
I saw a review on Shudder earlier, and it was like, I didn't want to, like, I good point, dude, I kind of get you, but like, somebody was like, I have no idea what's happening because all the characters look the same to me, and I'm like, well, I know I've been guilty of saying that before.
I could tell
that was before the Great Awakening of 2020.
Right,
things like that.
There was the two main men that I would get confused every now and again.
I was losing the thread a little bit with the daughter of the Black Witch, right? So her mother was the one with the fucked up foot.
Yes,
right. The girl who hit what's her name with a brick was her daughter?
I believe so.
And she was only alive because of black magic?
No. So there's a scene, and see, this might be the girl, CT, was that her name? The girl with the burned face?
That sounds about right.
I think it might have been her, but there was a scene where, like, there's the fire where the three girls are burned, and, like, they get her out, but, no, I think she was alive anyways, because what had happened was they were talking about how, what was her name? The main lady, the one that got buried under the floor.
I really can't. It starts with an M, if I'm not mistaken. Mumsa or Mimsa.
See, the mom and the daughter's name are very close.
Damumia.
Maman?
Yeah. Damumia?
Maman.
Well, we can just call
Murnie. Murnie's
the daughter, or Murnie's
the... Murnie's the
one buried in the floor.
Crooked leg bitch.
Okay, so Murnie... they're telling a story about how Murnie takes one of the orphanage kids out into the woods one day, or to the store or some shit. And then she comes back screaming about how the kid was taken by a demon. And then they accuse her of black magic and shit like that. So I think Murnie hid her daughter away somewhere and, like, then came back because she knew what was happening. And Murnie even said, like, the daughter said, my mom took me away and she named me Murnie to try to keep me pure from the evils of this place. But, you know, she failed or something like that. So I think she took her daughter, hid her daughter, came home, said, my daughter's been kidnapped by a demon. And then, you know, set those three girls on fire to protect them, got framed, and then they murdered her. Murnie was like living out Murnie's daughter was living out in the woods somewhere. Got pregnant, dropped her kid off at the orphanage because, you know, she's like, well, my mom didn't abandon me. She'll be back. And they're like, well, she hasn't come visit you. And they're like, well, maybe she'll visit now. And then you find out that.
Right. And she was the one who got hit by the car, right?
No.
Where does that girl go?
That girl was just one of the random kids from the orphanage.
No, I know, but
she was kind of like following. She was a follower.
But she was in the movie at the end, right?
The who?
The girl who got hit by the car.
Yeah. She was just an innocent kid. She was saying that they were on the bus. The bus lost control, and then Murnie's daughter came on. And my understanding as to what happened was Murnie said some kind of incantation, and since that young girl had her headphones on, she didn't hear
it. She didn't hear it.
Everyone else went fucking crazy. She came off the bus trying to escape, got hit. They put her in the back of the car, drove her back to the orphanage, thinking she was dead, but she was still alive.
See, the thing that I have trouble following a little bit is, although all of the, I don't know, the kill scenes are good, they're not even really kill scenes because a lot of these characters are still alive.
Self-mutilation.
I think
they all survive.
The fact that it plays on people's insecurities.
So, but they said something about that, right? Like early on, I remember hearing something about insecurities, but I missed.
Yeah, but the thing that kind of bugs me about it is that it's inconsistent. Like the lore is inconsistent within the movie. Like, okay, so you've got the woman who has issues with, you know,
body dysmorphia.
I wouldn't even say body dysmorphia. I would
Which
say
was
like,
some great body horror, honestly.
Yeah, like that stuff. Dude, that stuff is really interesting to me.
And
like,
got me because when she's cutting the stuff off, I'm like, why does it fucking look like it's healed? Like, that's such a shit makeup job.
Right.
And then, like, 2 minutes later.
Because we're not, yeah.
It's you realize
perspective.
That, like, yeah. And see, that's what I think this whole thing is about. It's just, like, perspective and how things, like, you know,
so
can be.
Oh, people it looks can be inside and outside.
So yeah. my issues with it though is it seems like it's inconsistent with the lore because there are people that just like have bugs fall on them and everybody is scared of bugs, right?
Well, so I think with the other,
I think that's more of a trope of just black magic.
Yeah, the bugs are like the black magic thing, but
it's
like
an
with
entry,
the,
it's an entry point.
The lady that had the mask. You know, she had this crazy rash and she was convinced that it was like a flesh-eating bacteria. Mm-hmm. So she's got that thing where she feels like there's actually like bugs crawling under her skin. Like, you know, it's like another parasite.
No, no.
What do you mean no?
No, Mr. Griffin.
No, the girl with the mask is the same girl who was trying to lose weight.
No, she wasn't. I'm 100% sure. Bruh, I know. You're just saying everybody look. I'll bet you $1,000 right now. The one who was trying to lose weight was the one with the cute little bob pixie cut.
Oh, man. They were all super attractive.
No, well, that's, whoa. Before you go down that route, it's so the girlfriend of the little homie looking guy so with the Nikes.
Yeah. So the one that had the body dysmorphia, she was the one with the cute pixie cut. The other one with the mask and the gloves, she was married to the guy that used to be chubby and now he was all buff. So they were two totally different people.
Okay.
Yeah, you really liked these Asian movies.
Dude, I'm telling you, like I've said a couple times on the show, like, wow, man, these like Indonesian movies, like they fuck. And I mean, most of them are this guy, but this, I was in my office. I pulled the shade down so it was all dark so I could really get into the atmosphere of the movie. I wasn't on my phone. Like, I was into
some
this
of
shit.
These folks were in the VHS 2 Safe House. Safe Haven.
Have you seen that? That's good. Dude.
Which is the best on that fucking.
It's probably like 15 minutes, but it's real good. The last like 3 seconds are corny as fuck, but like, is it the same guy, the same director?
Give me one sec. So far, Nadia is in that little bit, and one second. Blood, sugar, sex, magic.
Yeah. I don't want to play, dude.
I don't want to play, dude.
I don't want to play. 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 Play. What? What
are Anywho, we supposed to be waiting for? Keep going.
Another thing about that body dysmorphia scene, the director did it. It's a simple thing, but it was really good for perspective again. Because we see her cutting. Well, we see what she sees in the mirror, and we see outside of the mirror. So we see her tiny little waify body.
Yeah.
And then we see in the mirror that she's chubby.
She looks chubby to herself. Yeah. That stuff was super, super effective.
Dude, I was like,
effective.
I was so confused at first because like you really see how thin she is from the side. Like you see like her pants and there's like room in her pants. But in the mirror, I'm like, that's weird. It looks like she's got a little pooch, but it didn't look like CG.
No.
So it looked like they just had her turned and they just had a little thing over here.
Right.
And then even when she cut the
fat
off.
It looked like
they
had a practical effect, like bodysuit. Maybe, you know, maybe there was CG in the sense of she had some kind of practical effect or even CG effect in the mirror. And they just spliced that in there. You know what I mean? Maybe it was two separate scenes. Yeah. And they just put it in the mirror. Either way, it worked really well.
Yeah, I was hell into that. It got a little weird. Like, yeah, you were saying with the CG, like there was a... Some of the kids on the bus looked a little weird with their blood and their bugs. But the thing that really got me was...
Well, it's the little bugs, especially. I started thinking about, like, Indiana Jones and the King of the Crystal Skull. Like, I don't know if you remember...
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember,
the guy who gets eaten by ants. Yeah. And it's like, what am I looking at right now?
Yeah, it's bad.
Do you guys remember those movies from, like, the late 80s where it was, like, a lot of them were insects? They had, like, the killer ant movies and the killer bee movies. It was like late 80s, early 90s.
I do remember those. I don't remember names, but as a kid, if we could find those or if they were on.
They like churned them out like once a week and they'd always be on like.
Yeah, I was really happy about those at the time.
Yeah, my grandma loved those for some reason.
Well, even like my, you know, apparently. That doesn't even work with that. But my dad knew I was into those killer insect movies and giant bug movies and stuff. So. I saw like Earth versus the Spider, like a 50s one, and then there's a movie called Them.
Yeah, Them is good.
Have you seen that, Jorge?
I've seen that one and also the Wes Craven Them, which is not as good.
Oh, that doesn't. Yeah, I don't think that is good. I've
there's
heard
that
about
movie
that.
They though. That the, movie fucks.
Yeah, the one the 50s one though in black and white, Them with the giant ants in the middle of the desert, and they're like products of radiation.
Oh no, I was talking about They. Sorry.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Sorry, continue.
That's a dope movie. I'd like to rewatch that. I haven't watched that since I was like fucking. If I liked it when I was 12, and usually you could be like, well, that means you might not now. But this was an old film.
Arachnophobia has entered the chat,
dude. I haven't watched. I haven't watched They in forever. I would be really interested to watch and then talk about it.
I think They was the one that I dug. Right?
Or it's the one with them? The like the creatures, right? In the shadows.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that was good. I dug that.
Shit was good.
It was good shit.
Anywho.
What else is there to talk about in this movie? I know there's stuff.
well,
I mean it's pretty simple though. Like the story is pretty simple. I mean, it gets a little.
You thought the ending, the end sort of hell scene was kind of corny?
I mean, like when. So I feel like I missed something because the mom gets hit with the brick and then suddenly everyone else is in a torture room.
Right.
Except for her. And she's got a screwdriver and
well,
she's...
because for her, the worst torture is seeing her kids being hurt.
Okay. I mean, she'd already been freaking out about her son being missing. And like, what was the deal with that? That kid that was playing pool, the one that stapled his mouth shut.
See, that's what I mean. I think when you look at the lore of this movie and you're like, okay, so it's like playing on their insecurities and their, you know, their, for lack of a better word, their psychosis collectively. Why does he staple his mouth shut? And then why does, you know, why does the guy on the bus just get attacked by bugs? Like, it, like none of that stuff makes any sense. And then the dad, give him some more juice, man. What's his
thing?
What about the dad?
Like, what's his
guy who grew up in the orphanage?
Yeah, like what's his like insecurity to be like to be faced? I don't with know, the honestly, torture of
about
his not, childhood.
You know what? Maybe his insecurity is not having parents. So the man that he looked up to, who thought was this great human being that was like taking in all these kids and saving him, finding out that he's a pedo, like maybe that's his own fucking
hell.
Yeah,
that's good enough. That's actually a very, very sophisticated.
I guess finding out that his whole life is a lie.
Like, yeah,
that's
what would have been better not to have fucking parents. You know, yeah. Like you had this guy and you assist, not only that, but you assisted this guy, to speak, unknowingly.
I mean, with the murder. Yeah, that's the thing. He's being murder. Yeah, being like, and also being forced to realize that his choices were.
Well, also, I kind of got this vibe that both he and the other guy were like in denial.
About what they'd done?
Or? Yeah, about their participation indirectly and stuff, about not knowing certain things. They had kind of shoved it down, you know, like they didn't know anything, like nothing was odd. People didn't disappear.
Well, yeah, they were kind of older, right? Because they murked that lady and they fucking broke her feet and buried her.
How do you live with that forever?
Like, I mean, not even the killing of somebody, because technically she killed herself. Like,
no, well, they did but yeah,
they locked her in the room, which, to be fair, it's understandable. You know, you don't really know the facts. All you know is this woman has set three children on fire.
No reason to stop.
So you locked her in a room.
Let her keep going. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree, but like for the sake of the plot, they didn't do anything. Like, they locked her in the room. She killed herself. But then, why would you just bury her in that fucking room? Why would you not take her, I don't know, off the fucking grounds and bury her?
I don't know.
Good question.
You know, and then they're like breaking her feet to put her into the floor. Also, I don't know, make the fucking hole bigger. Instead of like, because I mean, okay, they didn't kill her. That's fine. But now you have the trauma of breaking somebody's limbs to cram them into a hole in the ground.
I think they did kill her. Because if you notice, when they start to bury her, she's still alive.
It looked like it.
She's got her brain cracked open, but she's definitely still alive at that point. Mm. So, you know.
So they buried her alive in cement.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. That's dupe.
That is dupe.
Dupe as AF.
It is dupe. And again, it makes me want to see the original and see how this kind of stacks
up. You know what it is? It makes like the first 30 minutes and the last like 10 minutes feel so out of place. When you've got these, you know, take out these bits where you've got this woman being insecure about her figure. Sure, keep that scene in because it's very important that we see that this.
Oh yeah, that was fucking brutal.
This black magic witch has that control, but also make it less focused on the fact that that's an insecurity of hers. Just make it.
Yeah, I didn't really fixate on that detail like you guys did, but I mean, rarely do I.
I don't know that Matt did, but I did.
Yeah,
Which detail?
The fact that, I mean, it just seems like the lore of the movie is that, like, we don't care. See, we're going to pick and choose whatever the fuck
I didn't want. Really, I just wanted it to fucking, like, you know, I just wanted it to blow my, like, tear my face off by the end. And it was going there with the torture rooms. And I wouldn't have cared if it was logical or not. Because I'm like, fuck it. Throw it out the window. Let's get crazy.
Yeah.
Let's just
do it. See, I like that it got crazy. But I really think once, like, the woman showed up possessed out by the car, that's when it kind of jumped the shark. I mean, and she literally jumped on the hood. And that part kind of creeped me out. Like, because it just seems so unnatural. And then she smashed her head into the windshield, and I'm like, okay, that's corny, but it's kind of funny. The CGI and the broken glass looks really fucking bad.
It did, and there wasn't enough impact.
Yeah, but I'm like, okay.
She seemed like she was just kind of like,
yeah.
I'll forgive that, because even Terrified had that silly bathroom scene, you know? But like, the bathroom scene at the beginning.
Don't call that silly, bro. That was
if you think about Toni Collette. No, but
the CG of her flying, like, it's so bad like, it's... Now, people were turning the movie off because of that.
If you think about Toni Collette smashing her head against the attic door in Matt's favorite film, Hereditary, and just the
Matt's favorite film,
the force that she was doing that with, compared to this limp ass fucking head,
it does
head
it
bob,
does dude. That kid on the bus was slamming his head even harder than she was.
It's true,
but basically from that scene, I felt like it got a little hokey. You know, like
I could see that
because after that you have like her doing that little levitating thing onto the top of the car, and then like
I thought that was kind of cool.
I mean that, like, that okay, so that was okay.
She lifts off the ground, and then she's like, "Well, I'm gonna."
But float then over she
the
does
car.
That little fucking like hand heart attack thing on the dad, and like then they wake up in fucking Saw Part 9, and the mom is just free to roam about and has the opportunity. Like she's not in her own personal hell because hell would not give you a way out. Like, and she's given a way out where they're like, kill your husband. You'll be good. I'll let your kids go. Like, the
you
same
really,
fucking
really,
trope.
You really think she was going to let the kids go?
Fuck no. I think they wanted her to just murder her husband. But, like, they throw that trope in there, and it's like, okay, well, we all know where this is going to go. She's not... I mean, I honestly thought she was going to kill her husband to save her kids.
That would have been... Look, it would have been much more effective. She kills her husband, and then her kids are dead anyways.
Yeah.
And I'm super into that.
That's what I'm saying.
And then she shoots it. Then she shoots herself.
This is that movie. But no, they don't do that. And then they have her getting a candle thrown on her, like you guys said, and it goes and the CGI fire.
What was that?
I don't know.
It's like you can literally get your fucking head cut off, but somebody throws a dollar store candle at you and whoop.
Well, and again, it's like the fire was like I'm playing a fucking PC game.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, dude.
Like an old PC game.
And then again, to mention the coda again, the other thing that bugged me was that how normal, I get that this is later, but the amount of trauma, the degree of trauma, you would not be like, you're not okay for.
They're talking about ordering
a
pizza.
Long time.
It's your aunt's favorite, the aunt who was possessed and ripped her fucking skin open. And then this little kid who doesn't look like he's aged more than 2 weeks was just shot in the leg, the arm, and I'm guessing the ear. And he's just like, oh, I'm just going to make this joke about pizza. Huh? We could have ordered out.
That's what I mean. And it didn't seem very... It almost felt like, are you being surreal?
It felt very Americanized. Well, so,
it almost felt surreal. Like, are they dead? Like,
I think,
what happened
I think,
here?
I think, I think that bit with the kid... I mean... It's a pelican.
Oh, it's a pelican. I was going to say, what's a pelica?
It's a pelica.
It's a pelica.
It's a proanacon.
Yeah. It's a proanacon.
I mean, I could see a kid recovering from a pellet.
An outlier proanacon.
But I don't mean the wound. I mean, like, the emotional wounds. Like, he was literally attacked by a guy who stayed.
Yeah, and obviously, the auntie in the back seat is still has bright red burns on her skin.
From
like,
from the acid or the hot
the
water,
hot water
or whatever
it
was. Dude, and I'll say, for somebody who watches a lot of fucking death matches and has seen plenty of staple gun used on human flesh, that had me cringing.
Yeah, dude, it's...
Like, I've seen it on somebody's tongue, and I'm like, okay, well, that just seems, you know, not so bad. But, like, doing it through your lips and into your gums, like, oh, God, I can just imagine the sheer agony of a fucking staple in your gums.
Yeah, and that was done with all the appropriate tension. Because yeah. You see a staple gun, you see a few things, though, and it's like, okay, what are we going to fuck like right now?
Well, see, and he does...
Like, are they going to fuck like this?
And he does nice, like...
And you're like, they did.
Yeah, nice foreshadow. Right. Unlike M. Night, the foreshadowing that he does actually adds to things later. Like,
Old is a much better film.
You shut your fucking mouth. There was that scene earlier where they were talking about something or other, and the girl is stapling the Polaroids to the wall. And every time she does a staple, it's real loud. It's a real bonk, like hard thunk. And it really makes it seem like this staple gun has some real balls to it. So when the kid does it on his mouth, like I'm going back to the sound that it made going into that board.
Yeah.
And I'm just imagining the force at which it's driven. Well,
and you know, and I think another thing that I have trouble with in this film is that people just kind of disappear for a little bit and then they pop back up randomly. It's like wrestling. So like you've got that, you know, Staple Kid and also Pellet Kid. They're just gone for
Yep. And then minutes? Staple Kid comes back with the staples out of his mouth and he's like, it was an accident. You shot him 3 times. That was no accident.
Yeah. So, you know, there's issues.
Maybe that was lost in translation. Maybe he meant I was possessed and shot him 3 times.
Accidentally.
I was possessed and it was an accident. Fuck.
Yeah.
God.
I don't know. Despite all of the shortcomings of like the first 30 minutes and the ending.
See, I think, you keep saying that, but like I feel like it did a good job of building the world, you know. And I think all of his movies are kind of like that, where he takes the first 30 minutes, and it's like, let me just kind of info dump you for 30 minutes. We're gonna introduce you to the characters. We're going to show you some things. We're going to tell you some things. We're going to plant a few seeds. And then act two, hold the fuck on, because we're going crazy.
I don't mind an info dump, and I don't mind 30 minutes of story building. I do mind when we take 30 minutes to explain that it's an orphanage, and these people come from an orphanage, and they have trouble because of an orphanage. Like, I don't need 30 minutes of explanation that it's an orphanage.
Right.
I got it. 10 minutes.
But while,
10 minutes, give me the bus. 10 minutes. Give me the bus.
See, but while we're having this explanation, like we're also...
It's pretty standard, though. You got your big first incident in 25 minutes. You get
your big first incident in the first, like, 5 minutes.
Well, you know, but then the 25 is when there's this other one, and then 15 minutes later, the 40-minute mark is when shit goes... And it keeps going.
Yeah, so the whole time, standard. Like, we're learning bits and pieces about these characters, but we're also of the knowledge that he just hit somebody with his car. He doesn't know that yet. And so while he's just having all this fun time, we, the audience, know that he's possibly murdered a small child. And I was confused. I mean, not confused, but like I said, I was guessing the whole time. So when the auntie shows up and she's got the fucking face mask and the gloves, I'm like,
oh, it's COVID.
No, I'm like, oh, she's the fucking, the queen of black magic. Like, she's the one that was in the ditch, you know, that's why her face is covered and all this other stuff. No, she wasn't. She just had this thing with germs, you know, but like there was little things like that where they keep painting it like it's going to be somebody else. You think it's going to be the girl with the burned face, you know, especially because her and her husband are so like meek, you know, and they're so like just timid. You think that like, oh, okay, somebody's doing it for revenge. It's going to be this girl who like was molested by this creepy old man, and you know, she got her face burned. And
when you talk about, you know, because it's bringing it back actually for me, when we mentioned a while ago about like the energy of a place, you know what I mean, Jorge? Like,
I do know what you mean.
No, but because I'm watching this with Sophia, and then I start thinking about, you know, it's saying things a little bit here, at least about it's a dramatic example, but patriarchy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so in a sense, it's this kind of microcosm of stuff that's been going on a large scale worldwide for a long, long time. This was going on. And so the Queen of Black Magic, that's the thing. 'Cause you're not really mad at her for wanting. Were those ghosts, dude? Yeah, you're not really mad at her for obviously, you're kind of rooting for her in a sense.
I wanted her to, when she said, like, everybody dies, I'm like, good, fuck them all, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah, you know, the wives, like, I don't feel like the wives deserve to die. You know, like the wives were innocent in the whole thing, other than marrying men who they didn't know did anything like they did. The children, it's like, oh, okay, sure, you're punishing the husband by killing the children. I get that, but like...
And then when you think about the energy of a place, though, like that house is just like, again, that's one location. When you think about like... When you think about... No, but seriously, how many people and how many females were just brutalized and murdered and left for dead and...
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere you go.
Well, there was... Well, even in this house, there was, what, 20 Polaroids, give or take?
Yeah, that's rough.
You know, so like he'd been doing it for a while. And of course he manages to get himself in every fucking photo. Like, bro, come on. Like, have some discretion.
So it's got some real ugly, real strong and powerful subject matter there.
I mean, you know, like I'm just saying, if you're going to be a scumbag, like, don't incriminate yourself in every goddamn photo. Like, you do it in a photo or two, you see the fucking mirror, move the goddamn mirror, bro. Come on. Come on, nah.
But he was wearing a pretty good wig.
Yeah. His body's all fucking old and shriveled and jaundiced, and his fucking wig is like super black.
I'm gonna have to invest in a new motherfucking wig.
Yeah. Oh, the dog peed on yours.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of.
When he told me that, I was like, I think I mentioned it. I mentioned it to you guys. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show. I was like, oh, that's not gonna stop me. But then it was like, yes, it would.
Yes, it would.
I'm not gonna wear a pissy fucking
what
wig.
What was the name we gave him? It wasn't Chad.
Brett.
Or
Brett
Chet.
Brett. Yeah.
Chet or Brett. Chet Hanks, dude.
Yeah.
Psych! Psych! Yeah, I showed that to my coworkers.
Dude, King Sam texted me today, and he's like, just when I think I can't take one more psych, you guys hit me, and I'm back in.
All right, well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for the Queen of Black Magic. I think pretty well enjoyed.
It's available on Shudder.
Are you going to watch the original?
I do want to watch the original.
I think I'm going to watch it next weekend, so...
Okay, I'll watch it. Well, like, yeah, we could talk about it on the show in the next couple of weeks then.
Yeah.
If you're watching it...
Next week we're doing Don't Breathe 2.
Don't Breathe 2.
What's after that? Demonic?
Well, if we want to do that, that's the new Blomkamp.
Blomkamp, I'm doing it.
The new Blumpkin one.
No, we're doing that because I've already given Cal the slate.
Well, that's the thing. We got to be able to find Demonic somewhere.
Ah, okay. Mm. I'll tell them to hold off on Demonic, but yeah.
Yeah, we might need to look into that if it's streaming day of release or what.
Don't Breathe, Candyman.
Candyman is at the end of the month, and like August 27th.
There's another big one. I can't remember.
Well, there's the, what's it called? The Mirror House or the Something House? The Night House.
Either way, next week, Don't Breathe 2.
Yes.
Cool. All right, well, that's it, idiots. That's episode 320. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye, Sophia.
Be careful, Sophia. When you bite your peaches, Sophia.
Why you gotta talk? Don't, man. Why you gotta talk about peaches?
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.